It's been a long while since we had an episode on papers about genetic insights of Alzheimer's disease. Today, after a long hiatus, I'm back to talk about papers published in May 2022 on GWAS studies, transcriptomics, and genomic studies and the like on Alzheimer's disease. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Aminder, a podcast where we summarize the latest publications on Alzheimer's disease for you, so you can spend more time doing awesome research. For every month, you'll find a series of episodes by theme, and each comes with a bibliography. Whether you're in the lab, on the bus, or cooking your meal, we hope you find this podcast useful and accessible.
Hello, everybody. This is Joseph, your host for this episode on genetic insights into Alzheimer's disease. I took a long break to focus on my comprehensive exam, and I'm so excited to be back on this project sharing recent publications on the field. In this episode, I will be covering papers published in May 2022 that study genetic factors of Alzheimer's disease in one capacity or another, whether it be the in-depth studies on the effects of one specific gene on its gene network, or more bioinformatics and genomics-based investigations on identifying novel variants. We have it covered for this episode. Like other episodes on this channel, I will be going over abstracts as a brief overview of what those published articles have done. This is by no means an attempt to replace the process of reading and critically assessing these papers, but more as a means for us to increase exposure to recent publications via flash news-like episodes. If a paper catches your interest, make sure to go to the show notes where you can find our numbered bibliography. Also in the show notes bibliography are some papers that are not covered in the podcast out of concern for time and resources of our team, but fall under similar categories. Lastly, before we start, if you enjoy listening to these podcasts and are interested in contributing to this process, we are hiring. If you are thinking about joining us, please contact us on our social media pages on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or email us at aminderpodcast@gmail.com. We are an international team of scientists who can't wait to work with you. Okay, let's get started. Our first four are all papers that have to do with GWASs. In these papers, you'll come across terms such as GWAS and polygenic risk scores. So I figured I'd quickly explain what these terms mean before I start. Very quickly, GWAS, or genome-wide association studies, are studies where researchers analyze the genome of a population of people to determine if any variant or multiple variants may be associated with a trait within the population. In the context of our scope, GWASs look at identifying genetic variants that may be more enriched in Alzheimer's disease population compared to healthy controls. When a paper refers to polygenic risk score, this refers to any individual's risk of developing a disease, estimated from the accumulated effect of all genetic variants carried by that individual. For example, you'd imagine that the polygenic risk score of an individual for AD to be higher if he or she carries pathogenic variants of APOE, APP, Tau, and other classical AD-linked genes. These scores are easy to understand in this example, but can become more nuanced and thus more informative when researchers start looking into variants that have low, uncertain, or unknown significance. Okay, with this quick rundown of the terms you'll hear about a lot in this episode, we can start with our first paper, Genome-Wide Association of Polygenic Risk Extremes for Alzheimer's Disease in the UK Biobank by first author Grovea and last author Brass, published in Scientific Reports. In this study, the researchers calculated polygenic risk scores for each individual in the database, and for those with highest risk, they performed a second GWAS based only on known genetic risk for disease. This is different from past GWASs that were done on this dataset, which were usually done on AD phenotype. After some phenotype analyses, the authors identified 246 loci that surpassed the significance threshold, and of which a majority, 229 of them, were not previously reported through other methods. This new approach seems to have provided useful insight because since identifying this list of loci, some of them have been shown in recent separate studies to be associated to Alzheimer's disease. For our second paper, we have Identifying Candidate Genes and Drug Targets for Alzheimer's Disease by an Integrative Network Approach Using Genetic and Brain Region-Specific Proteomic Data by first author Liu and last author Zhao. This paper is published in Human Molecular Genetics. In this study, the authors used previous, GWAS, and recently available large-scale proteomic datasets from post-mortem brain tissues to investigate brain region-specific molecular pathways underlying Alzheimer's disease pathogenesis and explore targets for potential therapy. Their analysis integrated AD-GWAS statistics of nearly 500,000 individuals with proteomic databases of two brain regions, one based on the parahippocampal gyrus and another on the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. This analysis identified four genes, CLU, PICALM, PRRC2A, and NDUFS3, some of which may already be familiar to you, that appeared to interact in significantly overlapping molecular networks. In addition, they also identified that specifically in the parahippocampal gyrus, some genes can be potentially drug targets. This work highlights region-specific biological processes in disease that may inform targeted therapies in the future. Our third paper is titled Assessment of a Polygenic Hazard Score for the Onset of Preclinical Alzheimer's Disease by first author Vacher and last author Laws, published in Genomics. Another term related to genetic studies that is starting to appear in the literature is the polygenic hazard score. This sounds a lot like the polygenic risk score, but in this case, the polygenic hazard score takes things a little further by having the added capability to quantify age-specific genetic risk for Alzheimer's disease. This new type of score is a recently proposed measure, so it's still unclear how accurate it may be. In this study, the authors assessed the efficacy of this new metric to support its clinical utility. Using a dataset of 780 individuals from the Australian Imaging, Biomarkers, and Lifestyles study, they investigated the association between polygenic hazard scores and several AD-related traits. They found that their findings largely agree with previous findings. Namely, the polygenic hazard score was associated with increased amyloid beta burden, faster regional brain atrophy, and earlier age of disease onset. Interestingly, though, the score only marginally outperformed the predictive power of the strongest genetic risk factor, APOE, alone. For more on APOE, check out our monthly bibliographies dedicated to the topic. Our fourth paper and the last one in this section is titled Genome-Wide Association Study of Occupational Attainment as a Proxy for Cognitive Reserve by first author Ko, last author Wan. This paper is published in Brain. One aspect that other genetic studies often overlook is the social performance of the subjects in their cohort, which can be considered an important aspect of their cognitive performance. In this study, the authors focused on bridging this gap. They performed a large-scale GWAS study based on the ability to be employed or occupational attainment of almost 250,000 European individuals in the UK Biobank. I won't get into the nitty-gritty details of the analyses here because the computational stuff supersedes my comprehension for such topics, so please check out this paper if you are interested. Interestingly, they found a small number of risk loci that are associated specifically with occupational attainment and not any other social traits. Further gene analysis showed shared genetic background between other social traits such as education, intelligence, and leisure activities. Overall, these analyses shed light on the genetic architecture of occupational attainment as a trait and demonstrate its role as a potential proxy marker for Alzheimer's disease. Just as our previous paper discussed social performance, our next article also discusses how genetic variants can have an impact on a more social phenotype. This next paper looks at how genes can impact cognitive impairment to assess the significance of this gene. This paper is titled, Genetic Variants in the SHESA6 Gene are Associated with Delayed Cognitive Impairment in Two Family Datasets, by first author Ramos, last author Scott. This paper is published in Alzheimer's and Dementia. The Amish community is a population that has been the focus of quite a few Alzheimer's genetic studies. This is because the Amish population can trace their roots to relatively few founders, and there is little marriage outside of the community, thus reducing genetic variation. What this means is that studying the Amish population has a higher chance that multiple copies of rare genetic variants can be identified. Previous studies on cognitive impairment in Amish communities have identified families where one sibling can be cognitive impaired, but the other not. In this paper, the authors hypothesized that cognitively unimpaired Amish individuals may carry protective alleles delaying age of onset of cognitive impairment. They looked at a total of 1,522 individuals that were screened for cognitive impairment and found single nucleotide variants on chromosomes 6, 9, and 17 that are significantly associated with age of onset. They also found that the chromosome 17 loci in the gene coding for SHSTA6 was identified in separate studies as a plausible candidate gene for Alzheimer's disease. Alright, time for a quick break. A few words from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
I want to take a short break to convince you to join me and the editing team here at Aminder. We are responsible for the high-quality, polished episodes you hear, and our team is looking to grow so that we can cover even more episodes in a month. If you're interested in learning the ropes, send us an email at aminderpodcast@gmail.com. We do have other positions on our team if you're interested in those. I find it to be a rewarding auditory and visual challenge, and I love working behind the scenes to get the best out of our hosts. So if you want to feel like a superhero after editing out mistakes seamlessly, please reach out to me and to the Aminder team.
Nearly 1 million older Canadians live with a form of dementia. This number is expected to double within 10 years. And sadly, no solutions exist yet to dramatically reduce these numbers. It has to stop. Research can help solve this problem. We are 350 researchers fully dedicated towards preventing and finding a cure to dementia, and to improve care to those living with dementia. We are the Canadian Consortium on Neurodegeneration and Aging. The solution to dementia could be closer than you think.
Next up, we have three papers that came out in the past month that have developed new tools for further genomic and bioinformatic studies. First in this section will be ALS-DISC, a tool to discriminate disease-causing and neutral mutations in Alzheimer's disease, by first author Kulandaisamy and last author Gromiha. This paper is published in Combinatorial Chemistry and High Throughput Screening. In this article, the authors combined all annotated Alzheimer's disease-causing and neutral mutations from different databases. For each mutation, the researchers also computed different features from the protein sequence and used these features to build a machine learning algorithm to discriminate between disease-causing and neutral mutations seen in AD. This method of functional prediction performed 13% higher than the current generic methods when tested on an independent test set, scoring at 89% accuracy. If you are in the line of genomic and bioinformatic work looking at AD mutation variants, make sure to check out the study and their tool, ALS-DISC. The second paper on tool development is titled AD-Meth, a manually created database for the differential methylation in Alzheimer's disease, by first author Peng, last author Wang. This paper is published in the Journal of Bioinformatics and Computational Biology. In this article, the authors sought to curate a database for AD-related differential methylation. They designed such a database that they call AD-Meth by manually creating articles and annotating a total of 16,000 AD-related differentially methylated sites from different brain regions and cell types in the blood. These sites involve 209 genes, around 2,000 regions, and over 14,000 CPG sites, which are regions of DNA cytosine guanine sequence, where DNA methylation frequently occurs. This AD-Meth database provides a user-friendly interface to search, submit, and download data. Be sure to check it out if you're interested in AD epigenetics. The eighth paper of this episode is titled Establishment of KOI005-A iPSC line from urine-derived cells of a mild Alzheimer's disease donor with multiple risk SNPs for sporadic Alzheimer's disease, by first author Supakul and last author Okano, published in Stem Cell Research. In this article, the authors developed new induced pluripotent stem cell line from urine-derived cells of a mild Alzheimer's disease patient that has multiple sporadic AD risk variants, including single nucleotide polymorphisms in APOE, BIN1, and MS4A6A. For those working with iPSCs, there is now a new cell line that you can use in vitro AD models. Contact the group at Keio University in Tokyo for more details. Our next paper is focused on discovering new genes using a new method and incorporating new datasets. This paper is titled Identifying Alzheimer's Genes via Brain Transcriptome Mapping by first author Balk, last author Shen, in a collaboration with the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative. This paper is published in BMC Medical Genomics. While advances in brain imaging transcriptomics analyses have helped advance our understanding in the relationships between neuroimaging traits and gene expression measures, the same datasets have not been analyzed in the context of disease outcome. These authors sought to change this by proposing a two-stage computational approach that identifies genes whose expression profiles are linked to diagnosis phenotype via brain transcriptome mapping. They then applied this analysis method to a brain transcriptome dataset from the Allen Human Brain Atlas, and the amyloid imaging data from the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative, and identified 12 genes whose brain-wide transcriptome patterns are significantly linked to several different amyloid neuroimaging traits. Of these 12 identified genes, 4 were previously reported in databases such as DisGenNet, but the rest have not been previously linked to AD. Their results show that this method of using brain transcriptomic signatures to identify risk genes linked to neuroimaging biomarkers may be a better way to understand biological pathways involved in disease pathogenesis. We are nearing the end. Our last section is 3 papers all focused on amyloid beta and tau, the key proteins that define Alzheimer's disease pathology. We start with beta amyloid dependent and independent genetic pathways regulating CSF tau biomarkers in Alzheimer's disease by first author Kumar, last author Madsen Kjellgren, in a collaboration with the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative. This paper is published in Neurology. While we all know by now that amyloid, tau, and neurodegeneration are the pillars of AD, we still don't know how these different processes are related to many genetic risk factors identified for AD. The authors tried to answer this question by testing associations between defined polygenic risk scores for Alzheimer's disease within groups that were tested positive for either ApoE or tau, that were either cognitively impaired, mildly cognitively impaired, or diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease dementia in the Swedish BioFinder study. Their results were then validated with the larger dataset from Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative. The authors found that amyloid beta pathology mediated around 37% effect on genetic risk for pathogenic tau levels and identified amyloid beta dependent and independent subsets of the polygenic risk score. With this study, the researchers conclude that genetic pathways implicated in Alzheimer's disease are related to altered levels of soluble tau through both amyloid beta dependent and independent mechanisms, and both may have potential for therapeutic anti-tau targets. Our penultimate paper is Association of ApoE-independent Alzheimer's disease polygenic risk score with brain amyloid deposition in asymptomatic older adults. This paper is by first author Zikota and last author Patier, in a collaboration with the Insight Pre-AD group and the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative. This article is published in Neurology. In this paper, the authors want to know whether a polygenic risk score incorporating common AD-linked variants but excluding ApoE can be associated with brain amyloid load in cognitively unimpaired elders. To answer this question, they leveraged a dataset of 291 asymptomatic elders from the Insight Pre-AD cohort, of which 83 were amyloid positive based on imaging. After calculating a polygenic risk score for each individual based on 33 known AD risk variants excluding ApoE, they found 17 of these showed the strongest association to amyloid positivity. As in other studies I covered today, they further validated this on larger datasets from the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative and the European Alzheimer's Disease Initiative. They showed that a polygenic risk score composed of the 17 strongly associated variants can accurately predict amyloid positivity in ApoE4 carriers and showed a significant association with disease status. These variants are enriched in biological mechanisms related to amyloid beta metabolism and deposition. This finding may help researchers refine their polygenic risk score methods to improve risk prediction for specific phenotypes within Alzheimer's disease. Our last and final paper in this episode is a little bit of a stray paper, but is distantly related via the genetic mouse model used to find links within human Alzheimer's disease. This paper is titled Altered Blood and Brain Expression of Inflammation and Redox Genes in Alzheimer's Disease, common to APPV7171, cross tau P01L, mice and patients. By first author Kukos, last author Quiradrado, published in International Journal of Molecular Sciences. Here, the authors wanted to look for reliable biomarkers in animal models that address early pathologic events of Alzheimer's disease, such as inflammatory and redox dysregulations in the context of AD-specific neurodegeneration and DNA damage, as they couldn't find anything in the current literature that did this. To do so, they used a specific strain of double transgenic mouse expressing both pathogenic APP and tau variants. They analyzed the expression of 84 inflammatory and 84 redox genes in the hippocampus and peripheral blood against age-matched controls, and highlighted a panel of inflammation and redox genes that not only gave a distinctive gene expression profile, but are shared between this mice study and AD patients. These genes can be valuable candidate biomarkers for drug development. Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Each episode comes with a bibliography that is now linked in the episode notes. Also, there are some papers that I did not cover today that are also in the bibliography as well. If you're interested in these topics, certainly check them out. We release episodes every Monday to Friday on a wide array of topics. All of our episodes and show notes are available on our website at www.aminder.com or whatever podcast app you use. Here at Aminder, we work hard to bring you these monthly updates, and we really want to reach as many ears as possible that would benefit from this free resource. Do us a huge favor and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. Every review really helps us reach more people who would benefit from this show. Thank you in advance for helping us spread the word. Curious about being a part of Aminder? We are recruiting. Please reach us by email at aminderpodcast@gmail.com. Music credits goes to Anusha Kamesh. You can find her on SoundCloud or on YouTube under AK Music. This episode is made possible by Ellen Rowe, who was in charge of reviewing the script, and also Anusha Kamesh, who did the final audio editing review. Summarizing, scripting, hosting, and editing was done by yours truly. The bibliography is compiled by Anjana, who also organized the abstracts for this episode. And the word cloud art is generated by Lara Onbasi. We hope you find this episode useful and accessible. Our goal is to contribute to the scientific community by providing a means of staying up to date with the latest neuroscience research through a different medium. See you in the next episode. Bye for now!